Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With Podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seokjin, Min Yoongi, Jung Ho Seok, Park Jin Min, Kim Tae-young, Jung Jungkook, standing BTS.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
And what a wonderful hour it is too. But disclaimer, this is a comedy fangirl podcast. And do you want to tell them what that means, Bethany?
Yeah, that means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way. This is an explicit podcast, though, so if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, goddammit, Jimin's beautiful voice really fucking kills me.
Or, how does Tae look like a fucking Beach Boy serial killer in those summer package photos, but yes, he's still sexy as hell? It's really long.
Yes. Then you're in the right place.
Yes.
But speaking of our biases.
Yeah. So Kayla and I were talking about our bias list not that long ago, like the other day.
Literally yesterday.
Yeah.
Because you DM'd me on Twitter and you were like, so.
Yeah. My bias list is all sorts of effed up.
It's all fucked up.
It really is. So we thought it would be fun to share with you guys our like kind of current bias list, although mine changes all the time. I mean, every day. Yeah. I actually changed it while we were doing research because I was like, no, he's moved up.
it's really what is the concept of a bias list and
really
understanding that it can change over time, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So like for me, Jimin, duh, he's at the top forever and always, like, mm-hmm, that's not changing. But so I feel like the rap line is like collectively tied for second, and it sucks, like, because I feel like Yoongi like dropped down and that makes me really sad because he was like a strong, like solid number two for me for the longest time. But like I've been getting consistently for like the past almost, I don't know, like 3 weeks being bias wrecked by Namjoon. He's just like, I feel like ever since that dance practice video came out, he's been killing me. And then, I mean, J-Hope has been
wait,
like,
wait, which dance practice video?
I can't think of
Fake Love? The one with his legs? Where his knees are showing?
The one with his legs,
yeah,
and the blue shirt.
yeah, that's, I think, Fake Love. Mm-hmm.
Yes, well,
amazing.
That one for sure. Like, ever since then, he has been like killing me and J-Hope continuously. I mean, he bias wrecks us all every day.
Really?
So anyways, I feel like those three are just like always competing, J-Hope, Namjoon, and Yoongi. But, and then like, I feel like everyone else is like tied for third because like how, like, I don't, like, Jungkook, Jin, and Taeyang, are you serious? I love them. Like, I love them. Like, you know, I text you about Taeyang all the time. Like,
Yeah.
Your love for him rubs off on me so much. And then, like, Jin and Jungkook. Like, so I can't, like... I can't, like, separate between them. I don't know.
This is so not fair. Like,
yeah, I feel like...
You made me... I felt like we were updating our bias lists, and so here I am ranking them, and I hate that I did, and you're making me feel shitty.
You're making... Okay, so...
You're like, I mean, can I just go ahead and say that they're all tied for number one? Like, that's crappy.
Yeah, that's so true. Okay. Okay, so... Okay, just for my right now ranking.
Yeah, it's like a right now thing.
Like, literally right now, Monday, July 23rd at 8:14 p.m., right now ranking. Okay, so I'll say Jimin, Hobie, Namjoon, Yoongi, Taeyong, Jin, Jungkook.
Okay.
That's off. Oh, that's the worst.
I know, it's not fun to do, right?
No, it's not.
Why are we doing this?
because I don't know. We have to stay true to what our bias lists are.
Okay. It does not surprise me that Jungkook is at the bottom for you.
He always is, and it's so
you just
weird
think
to
he's
me.
Like
I don't
you just
know
think
why.
He's like this 12-year-old boy for some reason.
No, but I do like I mean in what we're going to talk about today, like, I love him so much.
Oh,
and, like,
he's such a sweetie.
But, yeah,
he's
I don't
just
know.
A baby to you. He's just cute and adorable. And we I love guess. Them all. You guess. Okay, am I off?
No, I don't know. I just don't know if that's how I would describe it. But, like, I don't know what else, how another way that I would describe it. So, it's okay.
Okay,
let's hear yours. Let's hear yours.
Okay, so I made my list, and I changed it actually like 30 minutes ago because I was like, no. Taeyong, obviously, number one, mm-hmm. always. Like, yeah. He is solidified in that spot forever. But then I'm going to have to say Jin. Like, guys, when I said that Jin was bias-wrecking me, I am not kidding. He's actually bias-wrecking me. I was with my friend Amber in the car, actually, when I had texted you, Kayla, mm-hmm. or I guess messaged you on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I need to come to terms with it. And it's really hard that I'm coming to terms with this. But Jungkook is being pushed down. Like, It's just Jin right now. Like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
At this point in my life right now, Jin is just, like, amazing to me. I think he's so sexy. I think he's so funny. Like, I've always loved his voice, but his voice is just even more hauntingly beautiful. I just...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, fangirly. Taeyong, Jin. And then it was super... Honestly, it was super hard choosing my third, but Jungkook... Really, I just love him. And then Hobie, Namjoon, mm-hmm. Jimin, and then Yoongi, which is crazy because Yoongi was like number three on my bias list for a mm-hmm. really long time. So it's just like, you never know with these boys. They just like come for you. They all come for you.
Yeah. Also, I feel like it's affected a lot by like who we see or who we hear from on like social media. Like right now, everybody's talking about J-Hope.
Everyone's talking about J-Hope right now. Mm-hmm.
Because of Hope on the Street. But, like, it's been a while since we've had, like, a Jimin selfie, a Yoongi selfie. So.
Yeah. That's totally it. It's based on, like, the music that they come out with and, you know, just stuff like that. I don't know where Jin came from. I mean, my dreams, I guess. He's blonde again.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay, so let's get into some just, like, life updates.
Life updates?
Yeah, before we get into it.
Yeah, first of all, this past week, this over the weekend, we surpassed 100,000 downloads.
That's crazy.
Which is so cool. That means you guys have listened to us talking 100,000 times.
You specifically? Collectively.
Which is fucking insane.
That's
like,
crazy, yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you guys so much. It really, honestly, doing this every week is kind of hard sometimes, but it's just so motivating to hear from you guys. And honestly, we love talking about BTS, clearly. Mm-hmm. And so it really is, it's really just like the editing and publishing it that is kind of tedious, but in terms of research and
just a little
in terms of research and actually recording and talking with Kayla every week, every Monday, like it's just such a blast. And it's in terms of the editing, we've just had to like learn along the way. So it's really awesome that you guys have been so supportive of us, even through our like, you know, kind of harder days. You guys have helped us get through it. So thank you for listening and being here.
Yes, thank you. Like, as we learned how to adjust sound quality.
Oh my gosh, guys, it was a process.
You know, through learning how to edit and learning how to make sure the editing didn't take 10 or 15 hours.
Like, so long.
You guys, but, you know, we love this podcast. We love talking to you every week. And so it's super, super cool. So really, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing. You guys are incredible.
So
another life update coming up. Last week you shared about me getting a job. So this week I'm going to share about you. You have this huge thing coming up. You have basically your boards. It's like a big test that you have to take to be able to become a practicing OT. Correct.
So it's called the MBCOT. It's just like any therapist or nurse or, I mean, law school. I mean, it's not just the medical profession that has it. I mean, once you get your degree, because I graduated, we both graduated. But it's not like, oh, okay, here you go. Now you can go and work. It's like, yeah, I have this job lined up, but they're waiting for me to get licensed. So I have to take my boards. And that is next Thursday, which is crazy. I'm super nervous, guys. I've been studying so hard every day. It's been, I don't want to say it's been miserable. I've been trying to think positively. And I feel like if I have more of a positive mindset going into it, that I will have a better chance of passing. So that is what's happening next Thursday. So wish me all luck. I mean, I'm really nervous. I'm sure it'll be okay. I've studied hard, but that's next week. That's a big deal.
Yes, guys. Send Bethany good vibes and, you know, like, I don't know, next Thursday, maybe some like pics of Taeyong or something for encouragement. I don't know. Just all of BTS. Okay.
Yes.
So we should get into what we're talking about today.
Yeah. So today's episode is a different kind of fangirling. It's not so much fangirling over just how hot and amazing they all are. It's more of like fangirling over how talented they all are and how modest and genuine they all are. Just like how hard they work for all of us.
How humble they are.
Really. It's
just how authentic fucking human beings.
Beautiful they are. Human like, beings. Inside and out. They're souls. Beautiful souls.
They are. It's already beginning. It's going to be like an emotional fangirl episode is what we're talking about, you guys. Okay, so what we were talking about is BTS Memories of 2017. And this was like a packaged DVD release. But we have, for the sake of you guys all being able to access it, we're going to talk about just a few clips from YouTube. So you guys can find these YouTube links in the description. And today we're going to talk about four videos from like four video clips that was posted, just as kind of like an amazing story about BTS and who they are.
So the first one, we don't really know the order in which this all happened. We're kind of just guessing based off of what they said and like the order of events that kind of seemed to line up in the best way. So we're going to start off with their live performance of Fire Run, and it's called the All Song Cut. And so it was kind of like a medley of a bunch of their really old songs plus Fire and Run, which was really, really neat to see. And I really hope that they do this at the concert for their Love Yourself concert, because, I mean, we love all of these songs.
Yeah, me too. I hope that they play some of their, that they do something like this. So, yeah, all we know really with this video is that it came before the other three that are coming. So basically, like, it starts out and the stage like lights up and No starts playing and they come out in those outfits. Oh my God.
They're so sparkly and shiny. Like, they all look so mesmerizing.
They're either wearing sequin jackets or like hollow jackets. Oh my God. Like, it's so amazing. And like, and No, like, so, you know, like, No is such a fucking good song.
It's such a good song. And so what's interesting about watching it is that No Jungkook raps in No, but he's like no longer what, however old he was, like 16 years old when he did that, or 15. And he's so much older now. And so when he raps, it sounds so different from the No track. And it sounds so good. Like, he sounds like a man. His voice is so much deeper. And he, like, raps so effortlessly. It's honestly impressive.
Yeah, it really is. Like, seriously, he kills it. And he, like, really hypes up the crowd, like, right at the beginning. And then, like, what I love is Taeyong singing in No. It's, like, so lovely. Like, it's one of my favorite parts of this song. I don't know what it is. His voice is just so smooth, and it just sounds so good live. Like,
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut my singing.
It's just perfect.
Yes. And also, Jimin's voice is just so beautiful and unique. And the boy can growl. Honestly.
Oh, yeah, he does.
He does it throughout this entire, like, little medley. Like, he is hyping up the audience like crazy. And he does his growl voice, but then when he's singing, it's just so soft and beautiful. And the duality of Park Jimin.
It's so existent.
Yeah.
So, like, then, in so it's a medley. So it bridges from No into No More Dream. And it's so cool because in this part of the video, Namjoon just goes to the middle of the stage and he starts kind of like possessing the area. Like, nobody else is really around him. He's circling around, he's walking around, he's waiting for like his cue, like, boom, 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 you know, like, and then he just, he just raps, staring right into the camera, just like, I don't know, like moving his shoulders, like, oh, it's so good.
He's
it's
owning so it. I mean, he starts off No More Dream. And he gets everyone hyped for it, too. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it goes into Yoongi's part, which I've always, always loved Yoongi's part for No More Dream, where it's like, I got big house, big car, big dream, whatever. You know, but I don't have any big dreams. That's what he says.
Yeah.
And he just, I mean, it's so interesting to watch it now and looking back at, you know, No More Dream when it came out, when they had debuted. They've come so far. I mean, Yoongi raps so effortlessly. I mean, he always has. But during his part here, he's just like, he's done it so many times. He's really even, you know, he's gotten better as a rapper even from then, even though he was really good back then, too. So it's just amazing to watch, honestly.
Yeah, and at that moment, like, because, you know, he knows that song so well. Like, that's, you know, like, he just, it allows him to just own the stage in this, like, carefree way as he moves around, like, just spitting his verses. Like, it's so, you're so right. Like, it's so good.
And then also, Tae does his growling again, which I miss his growling. And Jungkook is rapping again in No More Dream. I'm like, you know what? They need to bring back Growly Tae and rapping Jungkook. Like, please. Like, they've both, like, obviously they're both beautiful singers now, but I miss Tae's growl a little bit. Like, and whenever he does do it, especially during this medley, he does not hold back. I mean, the man is growling hard. Like, he knows we love it.
Well, it's so good. And it, like, totally fits the song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But then, like, around this time when we're noticing Tae's amazing growling and, like, Jungkook's rapping, we're like, where is Jin?
Like, I really was like, where is Jin? Because, like, I've been bias-wrecked by him so hard. I'm like, they did not show him at all up to this point. It wasn't until I think they got into Boy in Love that they started showing him. I was like, what? Well, where is he?
But then we get to Boy in Love, and, like, the really the entire part of Boy in Love is so growly.
Well, yeah. Like,
I mean, like, not just Taeyong, but Jimin even does it. Like, everybody. They have, like, this attitude with Boy in Love, you know? Like, we've talked about it.
It's that angsty stage, you know? Yeah. It's, that's when they were all fighting over the love of this one girl. Ugh, loved it. Yeah. I loved Boy in Love and School Love Affair.
So Jimin is just, like, having fun in the background, grooving, killing it, you know. And, like, then J-Hope. J-Hope's Hakuna Matata.
Yeah. Part. It's funny because they had to pick and choose what parts of the song that they were going to keep for the medley. And fan. I'm like, of course they had to keep J-Hope's Hakuna Matata. Like, that's, like, iconic.
Like, everybody, well, I mean, everybody says it every time.
Well, really, like, it's kind of like people who don't listen to BTS or really know BTS, whenever they hear this song, pretty much everyone is like, did he just say Hakuna Matata? And you're just like, yeah, he did.
But it's like, you know what? It's a phrase that everybody who has seen that Disney movie knows. It's like one little simple line that we all know, that we all can sing along, but also has like this deeper meaning. It's just, BTS is amazing.
I know.
But also, like, that's why that line is so great.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love, like, when Jimin gets to sing his chorus. So after he kind of finishes singing, he says, say what you want, and, like, kind of yells it. Oh, my God. It's so amazing.
Jimin really was just a shocker with this performance. Yeah. But it's kind of like he's building for the next song that comes. But before we get to the next song, I just have to say, Jin, Boy in Love is when he had kind of, like, he still kind of has that sing-songy, like, boy band, like, you know, 90s boy band vibe going on. Mm-hmm. And so when he sings during this performance, he winks at us and, like, gives us air kisses. And I cannot tell you guys how much that affects me. Like, I know he's, like, joking half the time, but I feel it still. Like, I'm just like, stop. Especially when he winks. The kisses get me, too, but the winking.
The winks.
Ugh.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they get into Danger with the medley. And I just want to say, oh my God, Jimin.
Yeah.
Like, Danger belongs to Jimin.
Yes, Danger belongs to Jimin. I agree 100%. Yes.
It is his shit. Like, he is the leader and everybody else is backing him up this whole song. I don't care what anybody else says.
Especially for this performance. This performance of Danger. Like, when I watched the when I watched the music video, he really stands out in the music video too. But for this performance in particular, Jimin is so growly. I mean, he's been kind of growly, but for Danger, man, he is, I mean, obviously he's still singing really well, but he's growling too, and he just seems so angsty with that Danger vibe, and he felt himself when he was singing.
It was, he's like, this is my shit. Like, he feels himself during Danger. Like, oh my God. So yeah, just amazing everything from him.
And of course, Yoongi does an amazing job with his rap. But every time I see him, I just still see that little meow meow that he is. And I really, honestly, it's his eyes. Like, he's just got cat eyes. I don't know how to explain
And his smile.
Yeah.
His smile for sure. Like, I feel like you could easily attach, like, two tiny little, like, sharper points to his incisors, and he would look exactly like a kitten.
Yeah, he really would.
Like, that's, like, the best nickname for him.
It really is. I love it. But even when he's, like, hyping up the audience, like, he has this aggressiveness to him when he's rapping. But his face just, he's so soft, too. He's so cute.
He is. I'm just thinking about when his face gets aggressive when he's rapping, and the, like, he gets, like, a wrinkle between his eyebrows and, like, his nose.
His nose, and, yeah. Oh.
But that's, like, cats make that face, too. I'm just like.
It's so cute.
It's so cute. Then, like, there's a shot when Jimin, like, after he sings a line, like, he looks right at the camera and he does, like, a firm Korean heart. It's like, oh my God. And really, I feel like this is also when we noticed, this is what you said. What did you say?
Whenever Jimin sings, he always, I don't know, especially during Danger, he leans back. He has to lean back because his voice is just so powerful. Really, honestly, it looks like his voice is too strong for his body. Like, his whole body is, like, bent over. Like, he doesn't have a spinal cord. And the voice is just belting from his body. And really,
the demon is trying to get out, Bethany. Look.
He's just so into it. I mean, he's just really, he's so good. And he, honestly, they are all such amazing performers. But during this Danger part, Jimin is owning the stage. It's insane. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's the best thing.
And then, of course, at the very end, they decided to put in Taeyang, who comes in at the end of the song. And Taeyang comes to the front, and he squats down, and he's in front of the camera, and he's doing his growly. you know, whatever, mm-hmm. that part. It's so cute. This is the more, like, not so...
Emotional
fangirling. This is us because just fangirling.
This is, like, the hype performance that got them, that's, like, getting you into the concert and also bringing you kind of through
time.
Music.
Yeah, it's bringing you from back from No More Dream and No all the way up till Run. And then it just, it takes you there, man.
Ugh. So it just really sets you up nicely to, like, have some feels about BTS. Yeah. So anyways, Danger was fucking amazing. And then they get into Fire. And, like, I feel like this, at this point, like, the whole stage goes black.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like the, like, just speakers saying Fire. Oh, it's so good. And the then the flames. Lights come up and Jimin is right in the middle and he just goes, "You ready?" And it's like, "No, I'm not fucking ready."
Like, we're gonna lose our shit at the concert. It's gonna be awful.
Oh, it's gonna be a problem. But, like, the way that he, like, yells, oh, so growly. Like, oh, yeah. Man.
All I have to say about Fire, okay? I don't know, with the camera angles that they were showing, they ended up showing Jin and Namjoon. And seriously, their dancing is so underrated, guys. Like, Jin and Namjoon's dancing has gotten so, so good. And Fire, we know that dance choreography is one of their best. Like, it's so good. And Jin and Joon are in the back fucking owning it. Like, they really are.
They really, really are. Mm-hmm. So, like, oh man. Yeah. I mean, just, we need to take a moment and appreciate them.
Yeah. But Fire is amazing. They have the backup dancers come up too. And they, I don't know, Taeyong, he's killing me. He's always killing me. But Fire is one of my favorite performances of Taeyong because he comes up to the front right at the end when it gets really, really, really hype and awesome. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he just kills me during that part. But
yeah.
So then they go into Run after Fire.
Yes. And they, to start Run, they zoom in, I feel like, right on Namjoon's face. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. So you get, like, a shot of him and he is just glistening in sweat. But it's like, it's like a smooth coating on his face. So it's just like full glisten mode under all the lights. And of course, he doesn't wipe it. He doesn't pat it. He's just like, This is me. I'm here.
He's breathtaking, honestly, during that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really is.
So once they get into the song, I cannot tell you how impressed I was with Jungkook really throughout all of these performances, through all these songs for this medley. But during Run, Jungkook has so much energy and he is just singing perfectly. I mean, he's not pitchy at all and he's just running around and bouncing around the stage the entire time.
Mm-hmm. He, like, does not stop. Like,
no, he just, like, keeps going and he's, I don't know how he doesn't get out of breath. Like, how does he have the lung capacity to run and bounce around a stage while singing perfectly?
His vocal quality does not falter at all.
Not at all. Like,
it's truly incredible. He's superhuman.
He really is a superhuman. Like, he's good at everything. He's really just that person who's good at everything. Like, that guy you went to high school with who just
that's
needed to stop being good at everything they did. Like, even this always got me. Like, there was this one dude I particularly went to high school with who was, like, valedictorian. He, like, played music really well. He was in theater. He was always, like, the lead role in theater. He obviously had the best grades. But then, like, even for, like, luck games, like, you know, oh, we're going to draw a name out of the bowl and this person gets a $100 gift card, he always won that too. I was like, how do you win at luck? And also, you're perfect in every other category. Like, that's Jungkook.
How do you win at luck?
Seriously, they would draw someone's name and he would always be picked. I was like, God,
that's insane.
Big surprise there. Anyways,
you're not bitter.
Not at all.
But what we're trying to say is Jungkook is amazing live
Golden Maknae
and in any setting at all. Yeah. Total golden machne. And also, I just want to say that their voices live are so fucking amazing, and you can really appreciate them in these videos because, like, in fan cams, like, the sound quality is not good. But in these videos, like, it's like you have a direct connection to their microphone. Like, it is amazing. Their voices come through so clear.
Mm-hmm.
So when you guys watch these videos, just take a moment to appreciate their amazing live vocals.
So there's also a Taejin moment, and, you know, they're number two on my list now. So it's just honestly so, so cute because Taeyong and Jin come up to each other and just facing each other. And I think, like, Jin reaches out for Tae. And honestly, they're just, like, this amazing goofy pair. Like, they're both just super silly. Like, Tae does this really weird face and Jin can't help but to laugh. It's just so cute. It's a cute moment.
Yeah. At the same time, there's a Jikook moment. Like, at the same time that Taejin are together, like, Jikook are together on stage, like, kind of singing and looking at each other. It's kind of cute. So anyways, that's kind of like the end of that medley and, like, of what happens in that video. And basically, I love this video because it just shows their music over the years and, like, just how far they've come and, like, all that they've done.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, and I feel like it's cool for them to, like, play those songs that they played for, like, such a small audience, like, starting out when they had, like, after they first debuted.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're performing it at the Gochuk Dome. Like, it's amazing.
It really is amazing. And that they've been doing, you know, they had been doing the trilogy, the concerts of this trilogy, and they had performed those songs as, like, their main songs. And now it's just they've come so far that they had to condense it all into a medley. And and it really is amazing that they did that, because what happens next is that they end up going into Born Singer.
Yes.
So that's the next video that you guys need to click on and watch.
Yeah. So there's going to be a link. So Born Singer is a song from their pre-debut album. And so earlier we were looking up the lyrics on genius.com, and a commenter by the name of The Last Known Survivor commented this, and this is a pretty good synopsis of kind of what this song is about. So it says that Born Singer is a song that BTS's rappers RM, Suga, and J-Hope rapped over to the instrumental of J. Cole's Born Sinner. It's not really like the instrumental because it's not all the same, but it is the same, like, basic beat. So Born Singer, their song, describes BTS's journey from trainees to rookie idols, mostly focusing on the rap line's thoughts, feelings, struggles, and victories. And this person says, although it is an old song, BTS continues to perform it at special events, such as longer concerts and fan meets, as they have not forgotten their long journey from trainees to successful global idols. So that's, like, all the feeling behind them performing this song. And, like, when you look at the lyrics of, like, what the song is talking about, it's talking about all of the struggles that they, like, went through in pre-debut and, like, to, you know, show themselves as rappers. And
yeah, honestly, from Too Cool for School and Oh Are You Late Too up until School Love Affair, really they were not super popular. They had, like, a following, but they really were not making it. And so it really not only was pre-debut really hard and getting just to be a part and make this K-pop group with this small company big hit, it took them a while before they really created a solid fan base and started, like, really being appreciated for all of their songs and their hard work. But up until that point, they were all kind of broke and they were all living in a really small dorm. It was a long, long journey for all of them. So this song, really, even though it was written so long ago, it really hits home for them.
Yeah, it really resonates with them.
Yeah, and so when you watch them perform this, it's like, how do you not cry? Like, you can feel what they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so how they perform this song is they're on, like, a rotating platform.
Stage. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're all facing out towards ARMY.
Mm-hmm.
And so for this particular performance, it's it So for the song, Yoongi starts off rapping. And his rap is just so passionate. And you just feel that raw emotion and feeling. And you know, like, all of the rappers especially, I feel really resonate with this song. But, man, mm-hmm. with Yoongi's, like, personal struggles, too, it's just, like, it all, like, he's just flooded with emotion. And this song is just so real and relatable and true to him. Mm-hmm. And it still is. Like, from pre-debut until now, it's just so meaningful to him.
Yeah, like, all that he went through to try to, I mean, to prove himself over the years, to prove that he can have respect as a rapper and be a K-pop idol at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And make the kind of music he wants to make and be the kind of performer he wants to be. And he just has so much, like, just, like, raw emotion behind his rap in this verse. And, like, you can tell it's as real and relatable to him now, if not more, as it was when he first made it.
When they had debuted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. And just for him, I know that, like what you were saying, it was such a struggle for him to be this K-pop idol, but wanted to be respected as a rapper as well. Because people gave him a lot of shit for that. Like, how can you call yourself a true rapper if you're an idol, like a K-pop idol?
Yeah.
But he's definitely overcome that, and he's proven himself, and he doesn't need to prove himself anymore. None of BTS has to prove themselves anymore. They've made it, they're here, and they just want to play their music and put on a good show and love ARMY. It's amazing.
Yeah.
They've come so far.
We haven't even really gotten into this song, but I just think it's so amazing to think about how far they've come. And really, like, we got into BTS when they had, like, really after or towards the end of them really blowing up. So we didn't go through, we didn't see them, like, in the struggle phase. And so it's, like, hard to really conceptualize, like, how much they really put into it and how long and hard they had to work before they got to this point.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever really know what they went through. Mm-hmm. I mean, with Burn the Stage, we just got to see a little bit of the struggles. Mm-hmm. A little bit of the struggles. And that was just during the Wings tour.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine what they were going through when they were all pretty much broke and just banking on the fact that they'll get a hit that somehow attracts a bunch of people and that they can keep going and keep making albums.
Mm-hmm. Especially making music for them, they wanted to make music that was important to them, you know?
Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to play a company's music. They wanted to make and produce their own music.
Yeah.
And write the lyrics and
So for them to have gotten to where they are now, like, even at the point of filming this video, but even, like, today, is incredible that, you know, we're able to support them in such a way that this, like, dream of theirs that wasn't really even a dream because they just had no idea that it could ever, like, conceivably happen. It came true. And so it's so amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After Yoongi does his rapping verse, Jungkook is, like, the pretty much the solid vocals throughout, the, you know, like, the main vocalist, like he is. But when he's singing this song, his eyes are pretty much closed the whole time. Yeah. I mean, he's just so into it. He's feeling the song. You can tell that he's also flooded with emotion as well. Like, I just can't imagine what's going through their minds at this time and just how much emotion and feeling that they have while performing this song. And Jungkook, even though his eyes are closed, like, I would say his eyes are one of his biggest features. And if you go back and look at pre-debut Jungkook, like, 15-year-old Jungkook, like, he still has those big doe eyes. And and he still has those eyes now that he's, you know, 20, 21. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how old he is now. But, I mean, it's just to see his journey, too. Like, he was pretty much raised by Hoseok, Namjoon, and Yoongi and Jin. And, oh, my goodness.
Like, oh, you're gonna make me cry.
I know,
like,
they've come so far. And then Jin also, His vocals are always super passionate. Whenever he's singing, his vocals are always very passionate. But during this song, too, I mean, you can just see the emotion that these men are feeling.
Mm-hmm. Namjoon, when it gets to his verse, he is spitting his verse. Like, his whole face is, like, moving those words out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. And he, at the same time that he's, like, putting so much force and effort into his verse, he has tears in his eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, he stares right at the camera and he has these tears in his eyes. They're welling up, and it is just like, wow. Yeah. Like, you know, this is them. Like, they really cannot, they can't hold it back. It's just, you know.
I know. I mean, just imagine all of these members have had all these triumphs and hardships, and that must be going through their mind while they're singing this song. But imagine Namjoon being the leader. Mm-hmm. Like, he started BTS. I mean, he was the foundation of BTS, and he's been holding BTS together. When they have conflict, they go to him. Like, he takes on the role of the leader very seriously. And even though he has these tears in his eyes, he's still being so damn strong. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, he is so strong and so powerful. I mean, he carries this group. And honestly, his rapping is so powerful. If you go to minute two, second 40, mm-hmm. Namjoon is rapping so powerfully. Like, they're all looking at an army, but Namjoon is rapping so powerfully that Jin really just looks over at him and is like, damn.
Yeah. Man, like, Namjoon, he has so much on his shoulders, and he has for so many years, you know, like, when BTS was forming, when they were, like, building BTS around him, and so he felt like, I cannot let them down, you know, we have to get through everything and work through everything and, you know, just keep on going. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what he's been doing for years. Yeah, and, you know, I think, like, all of that has to be on his mind, like, how much he's put into the group and how much, like, they have put in also. Like, it's just, oh, man.
You can tell he's so proud of all of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also when it gets to J-Hope's part, I mean, they all have been, again, through hell and high water. And so J-Hope, I mean, really, he wasn't a rapper to begin with. And here he is in front of, you know, this huge audience performing this song. And he is rapping loud and proud, man. And he does a phenomenal job. And really, he looks emotional just like all of the other members. But, man, J-Hope looks like he is about to choke when he's rapping. Yeah. I mean, he's so into it.
Yeah, he's, like, really, like, belting it out, like, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know, we're just, like, getting emotional thinking about it.
It is. Like, it's hard to talk about it. Like, I didn't think that it would be hard to talk about it.
Yeah, because we literally watched this together. Well, we were over the phone watching it.
Yeah.
And this is all just, like, not even in our notes. We're just like, this is how we feel.
Going, like,
totally off script.
It's okay.
Let's talk about the ending. Yeah, this part gets me. So they're all looking out into the audience, and they're looking at Army, but then they turn to each other. Like, they're in this circle formation, and they all, you know, turn around and looking into the circle at one another, and they're just singing and rapping to each other. And
it's like, it's so beautiful because they all get to first be out facing Army, you know, like, kind of singing this song for them. And then they turn in and they get to look at each other and just reflect kind of together, like a group feeling about the song and about, like, everything that they've been through and about this being, oh, by the way, we didn't even mention, this is, like, these videos are from the last concert of their Wings tour.
So, oh, like, yeah. Did we not mention that?
No. But that's a big fucking deal. Like, that's why they're so emotional, and that's why they're performing Born Singer. And, oh, man. So
imagine how much love that they have for ARMY, but they're together all the time.
And they live together. For each other.
I mean, imagine how much love J-Hope has for Jimin, and how much Taeyong has love for Namjoon, and just all of them have to have their own super personal relationships with each other that none of us will know. And I don't want to know. Like, it's so special to them.
Yeah.
So for them to turn and look at each other at the very end of the song and just be like, we made it kind of thing, you know, like, I mean, I couldn't be here without you. Just like they say that you know, they couldn't be here without ARMY.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like an alone moment for them, even though they're in the middle of a concert. Like, So then that ends. Like, the music fades out and everybody in the crowd is still like singing, "I'm a born singer." Like, they just keep going. It's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden on the screen, now we're getting into the next video called "ARMY Time, Don't Cry, JK Hobie Suga V," because everybody fucking cries. Okay.
They all cry.
Well, Jungkook. Yeah. Jungkook, Hobie, Suga, and V cry. That's why. Anyways, so up on the screens flashes "ARMY Time" in blue. And this is like, this is the part of the show where they all stand and they, you know, kind of talk to ARMY. And this is like right before the last song of, or the last performance of the night, really. So at this moment, after the lights come back up and BTS can see ARMY, everyone is holding these signs. And I mean, so many of the members just start crying, and the signs
almost instantly.
Yeah. So the signs say, "We can turn a desert into a sea together."
Yeah. It's amazing. And Namjoon, I mean, they all are trying to collect themselves and they're trying to kind of let it soak in what they're looking at and what they're seeing. And Namjoon just says, "Unbelievable slogan."
Mm-hmm. Like, they're kind of like speechless about this slogan.
They really
slogan
are.
Because it can have so much meaning behind it for BTS. Just really just spreading life almost, you know, with like, if you think about a sea or like water or whatever, just like bringing people together, sending their message. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. And so at this part, they really are just kind of talking sporadically. I mean, they're just kind of talking about all their performances over the years, like at Axe Hall and at the gymnasiums, and now performing at Gochok Dome, and just kind of reflecting on all of these years and the trilogy, honestly. Yeah. So then they go into each of the members, and so each member ends up saying something. So we'll kind of summarize what each of the members say, and it's just, guys, it's so hard to watch this because it's really hard to see them cry. Like, it's so hard to see them cry.
So J-Hope, I'll just say what J-Hope basically did. So he's talking about, like, he feels like they've graduated because the trilogy is finally over, and they have learned so much along the way. They've grown, they've experienced so much, and it's kind of like it's the end of a big thing. It's like a ceremony almost, but they're moving on to so much more. So J-Hope, he says, "Thank you for being with us." He says, "I love you." And it's just really sweet. But he's crying a lot.
It breaks my heart to see any of them cry. But seeing J-Hope break down like that. So then Taeyong speaks next. And at the very beginning of his speech, he's wearing these adorable glasses. And then he's like, "I look smart with these glasses on." And he's like, "Let me take them off." Like, he doesn't want to look smart. So he kind of talks about how it seems a little surreal that people come up to him and tell him, like, "You're BTS," and that they're all BTS. And even though it's been happening for a while, it still seems very surreal to him. But something that Taeyong says that is just so beautiful, he says, "My love flows like a vast ocean. Take as much as you want from me. Love you." Like, he just has so much love for all of us that we can just take it as we want.
And when he says that, he has like the biggest smile on his face too.
Of
and
course.
He like swings his arm out as if he's like pushing his love away from himself. Like, sweeping it over ARMY. Like, so amazing.
Yeah. And he just keeps saying over and over that he doesn't want it to be a sad moment, that he wants everyone to be happy, and that this is a happy thing, even though everyone's crying, that this is not a sad moment. This is a happy moment.
Yeah. Well, then the camera goes right to Jungkook, who has, of course, like, been bawling, and he's trying to get himself together, and he's trying to compose himself so much. He's dabbing tears on his coat, but once he started talking, he just completely lost it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he literally hunches over, crying, overwhelmed with emotions. Mm-hmm. Like, his face is all puffy, And he finally pulls the microphone up to his mouth and he says, "I'm happy, but..."
I know. It's like so sad. I mean, you can tell. I mean, he says, "I'm happy." He really is happy.
Mm-hmm. He talks about, he's just reflecting on like how far they've come and like all that they had been through. And he says, "Thank you for cheering for us. Your throats must hurt."
Yeah, and he's so considerate of Army. He really is.
And then he says, "I wish we will be together and happy for always." Which is like,
I hope that too.
Me too.
I hope when I'm, you know, however old I'm going to live, probably not long, but when I'm 80 years old.
Oh my God.
I've accepted this. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to live long. But anyways.
Jesus.
But I don't know. My grandmother's side, like my dad's side, my great grandmother lived to be 107, and my great aunts are like 100 now. So I mean,
that's,
they're all really old. Yeah. So maybe I'll live a long time. I don't know.
Maybe.
But anyways, it's just like, I really do hope that when I'm old, that I can still run into armies and see where BTS is, you know, 30, 40 years from now.
I want to like pull out my old BTS albums and pull out my retro CD player and, you know, play it for like my grandkids. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
That's the dream. For me, that really is the dream.
It is a dream.
But then it moves on to Yoongi after Jungkook. Mm-hmm. And Yoongi, he ends up crying too, and it's so hard to see him cry too, but he ends up saying, "We promised you to sing our music and prove who we are against suppression and prejudice, and after 5 years, we are finally..." And then before he can finish that sentence, he just loses it, and he just starts crying, and he breaks down, and he's just like wiping his, you know, runny nose and his bandana, and it's so, so sad.
Yeah.
And then I hate that he's like, "I'm sorry." He apologizes for crying. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, you should never apologize for that. But he says, "It took us 5 years to sing out in public," and that they had just come so far, and he's worked so hard. They all have, but Yoongi really has. I mean, the music that we listen to, the lyrics that we hear, it's a lot
so
of him.
So much of it is from him. So much
of
the,
it's a lot
the
of him.
Production on every
are
song.
Jamming to Dang, and I mean, that's him.
Man, when you're jamming to fucking baby BTS, that's Yoongi, you know? Like, oh, man. And then Jimin comes in to lighten the mood. And he's, you know, like throwing jokes around since Jungkook and Yoongi just cried so much. He's saying, he was like, "Look, I didn't cry. It's so funny." And he's like, he says that he's grown up and now he's taking care of his older members. He said that he was really moved and impressed and really grateful, and like that the signs were just so amazing, and that he felt that he was blind, like, by ARMY, by like the love. And he had ARMY applaud themselves and then for the members also. And because some like J-Hope kind of made it seem like it was like the last concert ever.
Yeah, like the end.
he reassured that this isn't the end of BTS and that they're too young to retire.
Yes.
And also I have to point out, so this concert happened like after like DNA, like after the AMAs, because J-Hope's hair is red. So Jimin has like that blonde hair and it's like kind of side parted, but it shows some of his forehead, and his fucking brow is just sticking through, and it's like so sharp. It's like a bull's horn just like on his fucking face. Like,
it really is.
It's just so aggressive and so prominent and so there. So even though you think he's being all cute and just like baby and adorable, no, he's like the inner, like,
he's a demon.
The inner demon is
he's
trying
demonic.
To get out. It's right there. Like, that's true, Jimin. Like, the sexy, like, oh, he's right there. So I just had to point out the brow.
Yes.
Anyways.
So then after Jimin is Jin, and Jin actually was supposed to go after Jungkook, but he was like, "No, I'm going to ruin the mood." So Jin, he goes on to say that he's been happy these last 3 days and that he gives all of his thanks to ARMY and that they've had a really tight schedule for this tour and they haven't had a lot of sleep and they've been super busy, but that ARMY gives him so much energy and so much power. So then being Jin, when he's saying all of this, like, he's just this gentleman. I mean, he comes off as just like so sincere. I mean, he is super sincere and professional and just like so grateful for ARMY. But then he's like, I've prepared this event for you all. And he just goes on, so my heart is my face. And he puts on this like ski hat and it's got this heart on it. And his whole face is covered and you can't see him. And it's just this big old heart on his face. And it's just so funny that he can just go from this gentleman to such a goober. And it's just so funny. And honestly, like, it's like kind of somewhat uncomfortable, I think, a little bit. Like, everyone, like, Yoongi is literally like, why? but of course, all of the members are laughing, and Taeyong actually starts begging ARMY, please laugh for me. Please laugh at this. but Jin actually said that he had been planning this event for 4 months, which is really funny. But he, yeah, it's typical Jin. It really, he lightens the mood in such a great way, but he really gives his thanks to ARMY. And you can tell that he's just as sincere about the about all of the love that ARMY has been giving BTS. And when he sings Born Singer and when he goes on to sing Spring Day, you can tell that he has a lot of emotion too. But just Jin's personality is to always bring a joke. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't surprise me that he did that.
Yeah, I mean, that was so great.
Yeah.
So then the last one to talk is Namjoon. And he kind of talks about his worries that he had before they debuted. He worried that they would be hated. Like, he was wondering, would people like us? He said, I don't want to forget the past. We will overcome whatever we face. We are BTS. He said that in the beginning, he said, we were all messy and small. We made it.
Uh-huh.
And then he said, if we can cut your pain and sorrow down a little bit, if we can help you, that's enough to prove who we are. He said, I love you and thank you so much. I wish my love would reach you.
Mm.
And it's just
really the whole like pain and sorrow and helping people through mm-hmm. their music. And that's what they do. That really is what they do.
That's them.
I mean, when people ask me, like, why is BTS so amazing? Like, why do they have so many fans? And I mean, of course, it's like a super quick conversation. Like, you don't really get in depth with someone about it. But really, I just want to say, like, they bring us so much happiness. I mean, they help us get through such difficult times. They really are...
They make music for healing people, you know, and they use their platform not only outside of their music to work for good, in like interviews, the things that they promote or the things they say, and also with charity work. But then within their music, they want to help people also. Like, that's just who they are and, you know, like what they strive to do and to form connections between, you know, mm-hmm. human beings. And it's just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. But then he goes on to thank his members. Mm-hmm. And he says, I won't find people like our members elsewhere. They have never broken a promise and have trusted me, relied on me, saying I'm the leader. Mm-hmm. I'm so blessed.
Yeah.
And then he also gives thanks to all the staff mm-hmm. and the other musicians that work with them. And just so amazing. I mean, he really could never say anything wrong. Like, he just needs to be the president. He really does.
He's so incredible.
Namjoon, become a U.S. citizen and be our president.
You can't. You have to be a born citizen, not like a naturalized citizen.
To be the president?
Yeah. Or I don't know if that's the right term. But you have to be born here. You can't be like...
An immigrant?
Yeah, you can't have
who became a U.S. citizen?
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe that'll change. Who knows?
No, it won't. It's the law.
It's the law. Laws change. Okay.
What fucking country are you talking about? Okay.
I don't know.
So anyways, that's kind of like the end of that video of like the army time. And then the last thing that I just want to talk about really briefly, because it like just wraps up the whole concert, is this live spring day. And so you will have a link for that also. And only the first like little bit of it is the performance, and the rest of them is them basically running around on stage and like thanking ARMY and, you know, just like throwing hearts out and just like being really cute and like saying bye and thank you. But before that, they perform Spring Day. And it's just such an emotional last song for them to perform, not only for like a concert, but for their last concert of their tour, because it's talking about like, it's basically talking about the hope for the future and the time that you'll like meet this person again. So it's like, it's ending it on such a beautiful note, saying like, this is ending, but we're, you know, we will meet again and we'll keep going on. And until that moment when we get to meet again, I will continue through, you know, anything else that happens. So it's just really beautiful. And especially after they had all just been crying, like, you can like still hear it so in their puffy voice. It's
really a beautiful performance. I mean, honestly, anytime Spring Day is performed, it's just mesmerizing to watch, and it's always filled with emotion. Mm-hmm. But this performance in particular, after having them sing the slogan and reflecting on their career and the formation and success of BTS. So it's amazing.
Yeah. So that's kind of like our little journey of memories from that concert. And we hope you enjoyed it. We enjoyed it.
This episode kind of was really, it started off really fangirly and then it got super, super serious and emotional. But we hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, we cried. Did you cry?
I teared up. I cried a lot when we were researching.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. So
thanks. What a bitch.
I cried during this though, like for real though. So it's okay. So a bitch. Okay. So if you like this episode, thank you for being here again. If you would be, so amazing if you could give us a review on iTunes, rate and review. It just helps us out a lot. And once we get to 200 reviews, you guys will get to pick the theme or, you know, of the bonus episode that we do.
The subject.
Yeah. So you can email us at standingbtspodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us and DM us and like tweet with us on Twitter at standingbtspod. You can follow our fangirl Instagram account at sugarfreecookiejams. You can like our Facebook page for weekly updates at standingbts. And make sure to listen to us on Spotify. And you can also find us on YouTube. And you can find links for all of that in the description.
In the description. Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away 2 tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.